This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, make it so, number one.
What?
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
Silencio, Bruno!
And my axe.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Geeks out on Joy 94.9.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Now, it seems, Tamsin, that you and I are of two minds. Pardon the pun here of this next piece that we're going to review. It's called Severance. It's out now on Apple TV. Stars Adam Scott, John Turturro, Patricia Arquette, Christopher Walken, and so much more. Directed by Ben Stiller. I never heard of that guy before.
Never heard of him.
We got a quick trailer for you right now. This is Severance.
Hello. My name is Mark S. And I have, of my own free accord, elected to undergo the procedure known as severance. I give consent to sever my memories between my work life and my personal life. I acknowledge that once the procedure is complete, I will be unable to access my personal memories whilst on the severed floor.
Say gratitude.
Nor will I retain work memories.
Hey!
Sorry. When I return home at the end of the day. I make these statements freely.
Do I know you?
My name's Petey. I'm from work.
So, we're friends?
I'm your best friend. Nothing is what they say. I used to think it would take a monster to put someone in a place like that office. Especially if the person was himself. If you want to know what's going on down there, you'll find the beginning of a very long answer.
What's happening?
What is it we actually do here?
I'm personally really digging that. If you hadn't picked up what that's about, Mark leads a team of office workers whose memories have been surgically divided between their work and personal lives. When a mysterious colleague appears outside of work, it begins a journey to discover the truth about their job.
Mm.
Now, Tamsin, I think you're a bit more at home in an office environment than
very
I am.
Very much so. Yes.
I've always been a bit creeped out in offices, and
for good reason.
And my experiences have very much writ large with what we've seen here. You've got this idea. You hear terms like the work-life balance, and one that creeps me out particularly is corporate family, which I'm just like, anytime someone says that, I'm like, I don't know. My real family probably would give me some paid time off, like, you know, just if I'm having a hard time of it. And this is such a creepy idea as well.
Oh, it is creepy beyond creepy. But at the same point, I'm like, it could be quite relieving, but watching this, it's not. But the amount of times people take work home or they, you know, they don't shut off when they go home and things like that. It's very intriguing to whether you'd want to do it or not.
I think it's one of those things. It's a corporate solution to a personal problem can sometimes take a really horrifying turn. It is a great idea to be able to leave your work life at work.
Mm.
But part of the story being told here is the existential nightmare of your work self only existing at work. You've got these characters. They will go home at 5 p.m., close their eyes, and this identity will just open their eyes and suddenly it's 9 a.m. the next day. And then they'll go through a day and then they'll leave and then suddenly it's 9 a.m. the next day again. And that's the only world they'll ever know. They won't even ever see the sun. They won't know the outside world. They don't know the people who they're working
their
for.
Neighbors.
Maybe their
yeah.
neighbors who they're supporting. They're stuck on this floor. And they're of two minds and...
But they get melon ball parties.
They get melon...
Come on! What more do you want in life? I'm like, I struggle the fact that there's no chocolate. Like, I'm just like, that's not my working office.
if there's not endless chocolate, then what's the point?
What's the point?
But, you know, I see the bosses and the employers in Severance and it strikes me as the very sort of impersonal cheer up.
Yeah.
Attempts that, you know, like a boss that doesn't really care about you will try to do. It's like, hey, let's have a party with melons. let's do some disco dancing, even though, you know, you may or may not actually care about everything they try to put out that's appealing is muted for general interest.
Exactly. The trust games and all that. Like, there's stuff in there you watch and, like, it's horrific. The first time I was watching it, they do this sort of walk through the corridors and the left, right. And I'm like, oh, I feel like they went in a circle. I should have counted. All I could think with my head, I didn't count how you get out. it really played with me.
Haven't you been in offices like that though?
Yes, many a time.
Many
but
a time.
I knew I could get out. not this might be my only time to like work out how to get out.
Well, usually you need someone to show you the way sometimes.
True. I've been lost in many an office. where's he out?
And again, this is that writ large, you know, as well as the concept of, you know, a company, they buy your time, they buy your labor. It seems a natural extension that they should buy your memory of time as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that your experience and your knowledge is something that they might exclusively want to hold onto. And that's just them, you know, that feels like something that they would take more from you if they possibly could.
So that like
depends
I don't know,
on the I, okay, I will on, like, say
I think companies are changing. I think this is very based around American companies and companies in the sort of early 2000s,
I
late
know,
90s.
We are kind of, you know, in this sort of neoliberal.
I've sort of got we you know I so for those I am corporate and we have a whole bring yourself to work attitude. I'm on the pride committees. I talk about LGBTI a lot. And this felt stifled in that way. Like, you don't know if you're gay or if you've got a partner outside or if you've got a girlfriend or anything like that. And they're the ones I struggled with because your self-identity was told to you by a man sitting there with a clipboard.
Hmm.
And you're just like, oh, okay. I like that. Yeah.
I mean, that is a relatable thing for a lot of people. Like, I think, you know, a lot of people tell stories about companies will do what they can get away with.
Mm.
And they absolutely will. Some people are lucky to have workplaces that are, you know, better than that and actually have somebody who gives a shit with some sort of oversight. But sometimes, you know, some folks will, yeah. I mean, we're sort of in the age of post-satire as well,
yeah.
Where nothing like something like this wouldn't surprise me if it happened in real life.
I reckon in some way it is happening. I mean, I know there are places where they don't want you to talk about your personal life. You must come, you know, I know Defence Force, for instance, you have a locker, you put your personal phone out in a locker, you put your thing, you go through doors and you don't take anything with you. You can't even take a piece of paper out, which is one of the lines in this one. And you're searched before you leave, you know, for NDA and things like that. So it's already happening in that aspect, everything but the Severed Brain. Who knows?
I'm really loving that we're getting this exploration. I don't know how much it's been explored. I should probably put my feelers out a bit more. I keep coming back to Ben Affleck in the film Paycheck, but where that was an action film.
Oh, okay, yes. I do vaguely recall this.
In which his memories were deleted after he did some intellectual work for a company.
Yep.
In this, we're given a dramatic exploration in long form.
Yeah. Splitting.
The first two episodes are largely setting up the atmosphere of it. Tamsin, one thing that you and I, we always disagree on is on issues of pacing.
Sorry, I did fall asleep in the second episode. I must admit, I had to wake up, rewind, and go back because the pacing for me was like, I get it. I've lived in an office. I know it. But I do, like, so yes, I struggled. Really struggled. And it gets dubbed, but it is a train crash of a thing, of a series, and I can't look away. It's getting darker every episode. And I love the darkness.
And it's getting weird too, because there's some
so weird.
It's not just. I think the way you and I have talked about it right now is that it sounds like, you know, a very clean cut sort of, you know, like one new science, but there's also some other bizarre supernatural element in there.
Yeah, and there's like some people are severed and some people aren't who were meant to be severed, which is stuffing me up a bit. So I'm a bit. Oh, come on, tell me some more.
I do think that sort of marinating is required. I'm personally enjoying that. I know you're not much for marinating when it comes to...
Tell me! Just get to the good part!
Get to the damn point! And
I think there's like 10 episodes in this one, so it's going to really affect me.
I really hope it's contained in one season as well. That's a personal thing of mine, though. I don't like it when things run for 7 seasons where it makes it dense and inaccessible. Blah, blah, blah. That's a whole other tangent. I do want to talk about what I love so far, just in the first 2 episodes, is the soundtrack.
Oh, it's brilliant.
You've got this brilliant, lovely, chilled, ambient music. It's reminiscent of the band Air.
Oh, it is too.
Very Johnny much. That's by. What it reminds me of. By a fellow by the name of Theodore Shapiro, who you might know, he did the soundtrack for The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
There's also a number of remixes of a Lupe Fiasco track, Daydreamin', which I'm really, really digging. And you just walk around for like an hour and then, dreaming, this is in the flowers for a couple of hours. Yeah, that was stuck with me. Immediately after I walked away from it. And I don't know, like episode 3 is out now.
Yes.
And I'm actually keen to go home and watch it.
So
right
I watched it. So apologies. Yes. It is, look, and I'm fascinated by where Ben Stiller is taking this. He is actually directing 6 of the episodes. He's done the first 3 and he's done the last 3 out of the 9 episodes. The middle 3 will be directed by Sophia McArdle, an Irish film director. She seems quite fascinating with some of what she's done and what she's worked with, so it'll be really interesting to see where she takes it.
I guarantee you've butchered that pronunciation.
I know.
It's an Irish name.
Sorry, yeah. Apologies to all my Irish friends. I really couldn't find something pronouncing it for me. So apologies in that. But yeah, with Ben Stiller, it doesn't remind me of anything I've seen him direct before, because of course he debuted his directing with Reality Bites, The Cable Guy and Zoolander. So yeah, I'm interested to see where it's going.
So it's a compelling story. Tamsin and I agree. I'm personally enjoying the slower pace. You wish it would get to the damn point.
Just tell me what's happening.
Either way, if Severance is something that
if it
appeals to you, episodes 1 to 3 are streaming now on Apple TV with new episodes released each Friday. Folks, you've been listening to Geeks Out.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.